Good afternoon. Brothers and sisters, above all, first and foremost, because we know that the history of labor in San Francisco is a very strong, a very proud, a very courageous, and a very persevering history. And as I was just talking to Larry Mazzola, we reminded ourselves perpetual vigilance is what it's all about. You never stop and turn off, turn off the machine and say the job is done. We have to keep going because, unfortunately, the opponents of labor are relentless. They never let up. And even though great progress has been made, certainly in the 20th century, the 21st century appears to be a time when the forces against labor are trying to entrench and re-entrench themselves, not only in San Francisco, but across the state, across the nation, and across the entire globe. And that's what this is about today. We have problems that need to continue to be brought to the attention, revelations that need to continue to be made to the American public, to the people in San Francisco, people in California, people of the globe. The brothers and sisters standing here today do this every day, 24/7. It's not a 40-hour-a-week job. It's a 24/7 job. And people are here today who have unfortunately also been the victims of anti-labor thuggery and bully activities and attempts to intimidate. And you will hear about that in a moment from some of the folks who unfortunately have been put in positions in which the tactics to try to intimidate them are, even in San Francisco, being conducted by outfits that are very disreputable. I will allow others to speak on that in a moment. But we are here above all today to remember that the history of humanity has improved more than any other moment in history as a result of the modern labor movement. And that is a movement that is international, that is global. And we act locally, of course, as we say, but brothers and sisters globally have to be given their rights and given an opportunity to have a life of dignity. And that's what this is about. So I would like to introduce, first of all, from San Francisco Labor Council, the Executive Director, Tim Paulson.
Thank you, Supervisor McGoldrick. You've always been a friend to labor ever since you've been in office here, and we're really pleased that you put this together. Before I start, I also want to say a couple of thank yous, one to Art Persico and to Jack Chernos and Steve Zeltzer for doing so much organizing. I know a lot of us were out of town over the last week, so I really appreciate the work that was done in terms of organizing. We're all organizers, aren't we, brothers and sisters?
Yeah.
Absolutely. There's a statement I like to make once in a while. I think there are more people sometimes in the United States that know how to build a nuclear bomb than understand the National Labor Relations Act. And I think everybody should know exactly what the National Labor Relations Act is. It says that you have the right to ask for a raise. You have the right to ask for a union. You have the right to confront your boss and ask for a $100 an hour raise if you want to. And you are not to have any retaliation whatsoever. That is one of the freedoms of being a worker in the United States. The problem with that is in the United States, it is an absolute crime, according to the way the government looks at it, to do any of these activities whatsoever. If you take, for example, a hospital worker here in town that wants to call up the union and say, I want to join a union because he or she wants to have a dental plan for his or her child. One out of three people that approach the union, approach the employer for that, get fired. We have no protections through the National Labor Relations Act that are of any meaning whatsoever in this country. And part of the reason that we are here today, so many of us, the construction unions, the service unions, teachers, so many of us are here right now because what we have built in the labor movement is constantly under attack, and there's absolutely no government institution that is absolutely going to sit down and guarantee it. So there are some courageous people in throughout the country right now, and especially some of our elected officials. There's a bill that is circulating in Congress right now that is called, for lack of a better choice, the Employee Free Choice Act, and it's being sponsored by Senator Kennedy and also by George Miller in the House of Representatives across the bay. And this is a bill that basically sits down and says that if you sign up and you put a petition in, you sign cards, and you come up to the employer and say, we want to have union representation, that you should be able to have that right. Because right now, in order to go through the National Labor Relations National Labor Relations Board process, you will quite often go into the abyss of hell. You won't get anywhere. There are so many people right now that want to join a union, that want to have a voice at work, and it is sitting there in the bureaucracy of the National Labor Relations Board, and people don't get recognized. So today, on the week in which we celebrate Human Rights Day, which is December 10th, there are actions throughout the country by people like the brothers and sisters who are surrounding me today that say, we need a change in America. We need a change in the way that workers are treated. We need to have protections. This is America. We are the only industrialized nation in the world that has this lack of respect to our desire to have a voice at work. And you're going to hear from others today. We're talking about a card check agreement that is going to give us the right to have a voice at work. That is why we are here. We're going to encourage people to go to the meeting at 3 o'clock. There's going to be a hearing that Supervisor McGoldrick is putting together. But with that in mind, I want to thank everybody for coming, and I want to thank everybody for helping us as we launch this campaign, as we continue this campaign for justice in the workplace. Thank you.
Our next speaker is Jack Chernos, Chernos, from American Federation of Musicians.
Thanks, Jake. Thank you all for coming. I'd like to say a little bit about the hearing that we're going to have later. This afternoon, we'll be hearing from union activists who, because of their union activities, have been the victims of a spectrum of intimidation tactics. We'll hear from union activists who have been illegally fired and have won NLRB judgments to that effect. But we'll also hear from some union activists who have had some more dramatic, surprising things happen right here in San Francisco. One person who will testify was on a picket line here in San Francisco and was kicked to the ground, kicked twice in the stomach by security. I and Art Persico would like to tell you a story about being followed by union-busting thugs and threatened. And this seems to be, we're here because these are not isolated incidents. We're here because we believe that these are part of a trend. As America becomes more militaristic, more aggressive abroad, as we start somehow getting into a mindset of thinking torture is okay and violence is okay, that is seeping back. And so even some of the actors that are abroad are acting here. For instance, Steel Foundation, abroad they're a private militia, and here they're acting as security. So these testimonies that we'll hear later this afternoon, they're essentially terrorist activities with a little t, and that they're meant to terrify people into not participating in strikes, into not forming unions, and worst of all, into not coming out and telling what happened to them. So they'll be testifying at 3, and they really are to be commended for their courage. So they're doing their part, and now is the time for the press and for the city of San Francisco to get involved, to expose this stuff, and to press for change. So thank you for coming, and I hope you'll make it at 3, and thanks again to Jake for having this hearing.
Our next speaker is Dennis Kelly. Most of you will know Dennis, of course, United Educators of San Francisco.
Yay! Well, we are here today to talk about freedom. And it's a fundamental freedom that we're talking about, and it's a right to organize a union in your workplace. Not a radical idea. The right to organize has been a settled matter for generations in this country, and it's a right that has been earned through the blood of workers. It's been organized through their sweat and through their tears. It's also a right that many Americans have been able to take for granted, and unfortunately have taken for granted. And now we are here today to raise our voices so that people know that here in America, workers are denied those same basic human rights almost every day. U.S. labor laws were written years ago during a time of great turmoil. They're part of a larger compromise when workers' rights were equated with industrial peace, when they were allowed a balance of power between employers and employees, and when they permitted workers the opportunity to exercise these fundamental human rights as enshrined in the UN Declaration of Human Rights, among other places. The right to form a union free of coercion and harassment. Now, as teachers in San Francisco and as paraprofessionals, as nurses, as school workers, social workers, we are in the public sector. We don't necessarily have the same concerns that a lot of the other folks who are trying to form unions at places like Verizon have. We're not subject to the same kind of intimidation. And yet when our workers were wanted to be in support of SEIU, when our workers consider what they have to do in order to get a contract, the first thing that they want to know is, what will they do to us? Will they cut off our benefits? How will they hurt us for expressing our rights, for taking advantage of our American right to have an organized free trade union? That is what we're here talking about. That is what we have the legislation now in Washington about. That's what the session today at 3 o'clock is about. Thank you very much for your participation here. Thank you for the other supervisors who are here and lent their support. And thank you very much to Supervisor McGoldrick for holding the session this afternoon.
Our next speaker is Peter Olney with the International Longshoremen Workers Union, Local 17. Peter Olney.
Thank you, Jake. My name is Peter Olney. I'm the organizing director for the ILWU based here in San Francisco. Those of you from San Francisco have had the misfortune this year to listen to KNBR 680, Joe Starkey's broadcast of 49ers games, are probably familiar with the Blue Diamond player of the game. And a can a week is all we ask. These are the slogans of a giant agricultural cooperative called Blue Diamond Growers. It's the largest producer of almonds in the world. This is a company that's been in Sacramento, California for 95 years, has never been union, employs over 620 workers. We started to organize this company about a year ago. And we argued to the company and the 3,500 growers who make up this cooperative that you, as growers, when you make a choice to join this cooperative, you do so free of coercion and intimidation. Why shouldn't the workers at Blue Diamond have the same choice when they decide or not whether to join a workers' organization? Well, Blue Diamond's response was, quote unquote, to the Sacramento Bee, an aggressive union avoidance campaign that resulted in the firings of six union committee members, coercion, intimidation, threats of closure of Blue Diamond, threats of loss of pension if the union should arrive in the factory. These violations were so severe that the National Labor Relations Board issued 28 complaints on October 27th against Blue Diamond. I have copies for the press if you'd like them. And the reason I'm not here today with some of the workers from Blue Diamond is that we have started trial in Sacramento at the federal building against Blue Diamond for those 28 violations. So I just want to emphasize and support the previous comments by previous speakers about the need for the Employee Free Choice Act. The AFL-CIO has put this front and center on their legislative agenda, sponsored by Kennedy and Miller. This is an act that would give workers the free choice to decide one way or the other whether they want to be in a union free of coercion from employers. So it's very important that we support this law, and I salute Supervisor McGoldrick for holding these hearings at 3 p.m. We plan to be there. Thank you very much.
Hey, if anybody needs to be saluted, by the way, it's not me. It's every brother and sister standing here and every brother and sister that's in the trenches fighting and working for workers' rights, and you know that's what it's about. Our next speaker is Carl Zichella, who's with the who's the regional director of the Sierra Club. Carl.
Thank you, Supervisor McGoldrick. Thanks also to Tim Paulson for inviting us to participate in this event. We at the Sierra Club are proud to stand with our union brothers and sisters to both honor International Human Rights Day and to speak out for labor protections. For decades, environmental groups and labor unions have found common cause in building a better America by holding corporations and public officials accountable and by fighting for good jobs, safe workplaces, and healthy communities. We are two sides of the same coin in many ways. In fact, the Sierra Club was founded in this city in 1892, and the San Francisco Central Labor Council was founded, obviously, in this city in 1893. In a lot of ways, our movements have grown up together. We are the largest grassroots organization in the United States. We work for clean air, clean water, and open spaces, and we believe that we can have a healthy, vibrant communities and good jobs while protecting the environment. Today, both workers and the environment are under attack, as previous speakers have indicated. Workers who try and organize face firings and harassment from their employers. And landmark environmental laws that we all rely upon that protect workers and their communities are being weakened today. That's why we need to continue our historic partnership. If we don't hang together, we'll certainly hang separately. Together, we present a formidable alliance for a better America. Together, we've opposed irresponsible trade agreements, promoted smart growth and renewable energy, fought for more public transit and affordable housing near jobs, worked together to hold corporations like Walmart accountable, adopted the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act, Wilderness Act, the Occupational Safety and Health Act, and many more, building a better life for all Americans. Here in California, we joined with labor in fighting anti-worker initiatives and just recently enjoyed a great success there. Together with SEIU, IBEW, and Unite Here, we are installing solar panels on union halls in the homes of our members, a partnership that's financed by a union bank. We supported living wage ordinances, the use of project labor agreements, and also at our recent convention, which some of you may have been able to attend, where thousands of Sierra Club members came to San Francisco, we used only union hotels. Why? Because union workers have greater protections if they blow the whistle on unsafe workplaces that harm the environment. Because unions have used project labor agreements to insist that new power plants built in California be the cleanest ever built. Because we know that union-trained workers do dangerous jobs, like cleaning up hazardous waste, safer and better than anyone else in the world. And in fact, the training program that the laborers union have is the best in the world for hazardous waste remediation workers. Because keeping good jobs safe, jobs, fighting for education and transportation near where people work is an environmental act. Protecting open space, keeping our cities vital and viable, reducing air and water pollution, and helping our people live better lives. Brothers and sisters, we're proud to stand with you today and always. We're two sides of the same coin, for better lives, for a better America, and for a better world. Yes, things are tough and we are besieged, as people have previously indicated, but it's at times like this when you learn who your friends are, and we're proud to be your friends. Thank you to Mr. McGoldrick for doing this. Thank you to all of you for being here, and yes, we can.
Ladies and gentlemen, Labor Video Project, Steve Zeltzer.
Thank you, Jake, and I think this hearing that we're going to have and the testimony that we have is very important because the purpose of intimidation and the systemic tactics used by employers is to terrorize working people here in San Francisco and around the country. And when workers are threatened that if they organize a union, they're going to be fired. When they're threatened if they go on a picket line that they'll be fired, what does this leave in the workplace? It leaves fear. People are afraid to act in a democratic way for their rights. And we have to educate, and this is what we've been sought to do with the Labor Video Project on TV, to interview workers and get this out so people understand this is not just an attack on working people. This is an attack on all people in the United States. If you're afraid to speak out and terrorized in the workplace, what kind of democracy do we have in this country? These are the questions that have to be asked. The other thing that I think has to be spoken to is in San Francisco, the city has a right with businesses that do business with the city of San Francisco, such as Comcast and potentially Home Depot, to say to these companies, you cannot operate in San Francisco unless the workers have a democratic right to join a union. And the labor movement has made an effort to get a card check at Comcast, to get a card check at Home Depot, because these companies have a record of violation of labor rights, sexual harassment, discrimination against blacks.
And I believe that the city of San Francisco has to say to every employer, if you're going to operate in San Francisco, you have a right and a responsibility to treat the workers right. And if you don't do that, you don't operate in San Francisco. So through these hearings, let's get that word out and make sure that we have economic and labor right justice in San Francisco. Thank you.
Again, for those of you who didn't catch it, a 3 o'clock hearing upstairs, second floor, room 263, Board of Supervisors Committee. And to wrap it up, Brother Tim Paulson.
Again, thank you, Supervisor, for having this hearing. We encourage everybody for having this press conference and a hearing, and we acknowledge everybody that's here, and they should all come up. I want to make a couple quick acknowledgments. Ron Judd is with us today, surprised us with the regional director for the AFL-CIO. Ron, welcome back to San Francisco. It's always great to see you here. And we have three of our vice presidents from the Labor Council are here today also. Connie Ford from OPEIU, Larry Mazzola with Plumbers Local 38, and I see Howard Wallace, vice president with Pride at Work and SEIU-UHW. So brothers and sisters, this is an ongoing campaign. This is an ongoing campaign for workers' rights. And in particular, as Steve was saying, in San Francisco, you're not going to come to San Francisco and get away with labor violations. So thank everybody for coming.